2 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep your Bible open there. And I want to talk about the greatest battle that you're fighting. It's the battle for your mind. God's going to use it in your life. He's going to help you with it right now. All right, let's have a moment of prayer together as we pray together. Father, even now we want to pray for this individual who's going through this time of difficulty. Father, you know everything about that person and everything about the physical trauma they're having. So, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch them, that great peace would come upon them, that healing would come upon them. As these individuals minister to that person, Lord, I just pray you'd give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, we know how much you love that individual, and we commit them into your hands, and we pray for the healing power of Jesus to go to them right now, Lord. Whatever needs to be done, we trust you to do it, and we know it's in your hands, Lord. Father, right now, we enthrone Jesus as Lord in this place. Jesus, you are Lord here. Father, we exalt Jesus as Lord. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit now would quicken our minds and quicken our hearts, quicken our spirits. And I pray that the Word of God would go forth into every heart in power. And Lord, that we'd be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Father, we thank you and praise you that Satan is a defeated foe. We thank you that Satan and every demon are under the feet of Jesus. And we command you, Satan and every demon, to leave this place. You're not welcome here. You're bound from here in the name of Jesus and with his everlasting blood. Jesus is Lord. Father, just release the Holy Spirit in power to speak to every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to understand tonight that the Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground. Please understand that you and I are engaged in a tremendous spiritual battle. And the thing that breaks my heart is this. Many Christians are losing in that battle. While we have victory in Jesus, we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. The victory of his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension and glorification are ours. I am telling you that there are many wounded and bleeding and defeated children of God in the body of Christ. You know why? Because they do not understand the intensity of the battle in which they're engaged. Now, listen to what the Bible says. And see if I'm right in saying that we're in a battle. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. What is a soldier doing? He's fighting. He said, Timothy, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. When Paul came to the end of his life, summing up his testimony, he said, I have fought a good what? Say it. Fight. Folks, he didn't say I've had a good time playing around. I've been on a joyful journey. He said, I want to tell you something. I have fought a good fight. You know what a good fight is? It's the one you win. That's a good fight. A good fight is not one you lose. Hallelujah. I want to thank God that Christians are fighting a good fight. Listen to what Paul said. I want to ask you, are we in a battle? He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Didn't he say that? Now listen to what he said. Put on the whole armor of God. Folks, why do you wear armor for? Because you're in what? A battle. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, for we are not wrestling against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to ask you a question. Do you put on the armor before you get shot or after you get shot? When do you put it on? Before. You know what most Christians do? They wait until they're wounded and bleeding. And they say, man, this is serious. I better put the armor on. It is a foolish soldier who waits until he's wounded to put the armor on. He puts it on before he ever goes into what? Battle. That's exactly right. Tonight I want to show you how to put the armor on. But most of all, I want to show you where the battle's being fought. There is a battle being fought. You know where the battleground is? The battleground is in your mind. For many times when the Bible speaks of the heart, hear me, it is talking of the mind. our thinking ability. How important is your mind? Listen to this verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Friend, I am telling you, the battle that is being fought in our mind. Listen to what the Bible says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think, you do, and you actually become. Let me show you how the battle is being fought in the mind. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and following. And notice now how the battle is being fought in the mind. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're in an earthly body. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not, tell me what the word is, war. Folks, we're in a war. I'm telling you, I've been in a war all day. You've been in a war all day. You say, oh, that's what's going wrong. No, you're in a war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Look at verse 4. You think we're in a battle or something. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. Listen at this. It excites me. But are mighty through God. Friend, I want to encourage you. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look where the battle's being fought. Casting down imaginations, arguments, reasonings. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now don't miss this. And bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every what? Say it. Thought. Friend, do you see? He says we're in a battle. It involves imaginations. It involves thoughts. And you've got to cast down imaginations. And you've got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you. Look back up there in verse 4. And notice the last part of that verse. The pulling down of strongholds. Now, I want to talk to you about how you get strongholds in your life. I'm talking about spiritual strongholds. Stay with me. I have dealt with people with every imaginable kind of stronghold. For example, I have dealt with people who had the stronghold of lying. In other words, the pattern of their life would be to lie. It was more, you know, even in situations where the normal thing would be to tell the truth. I am telling you, they had gone beyond a habit and they had a stronghold of lying in their life. I've dealt with people who had a stronghold of fear. I mean, they were living in a prison of fear. Now, we all battle fears, but I'm telling you, there was a stronghold of fear in their life. I've dealt with people who had the stronghold of pornography. I'm thinking of a man that I dealt with who absolutely was as addicted to watching pornography as a person was addicted to alcohol. It was literally destroying his life. I've dealt with people with a stronghold of negative thinking. I never will forget one time I was around an individual who was absolutely consumed with negative things. It had become a stronghold. I never will forget we were riding around and we were looking at this beautiful lake. It was beautiful. I mean, I said, isn't that a beautiful lake? They said, yeah, but I'm afraid it's full of snakes. Listen, I mean, everything was negative. I mean, nothing was ever anything but negative. I've dealt with people who had a stronghold of greed. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and tell you that these were not habits. I mean, they were strongholds in their life. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you get a stronghold? How do you get one? Listen carefully. I've been pastoring for 30 years. You don't wake up one morning and just say, oh, overnight, I got the stronghold of lust or lying or greed or fear. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you how you get a stronghold. It all begins with a thought. Now stay with me. If you receive the thought, then you make a choice. And if you make the choice, then you commit the act. If you repeat the act, it becomes a habit. And then when the habit becomes entrenched, demonic spirits will come and attach themselves to that habit. I didn't say possess you, but I said oppress you. They will attach themselves to that habit and it will become a stronghold. But I want to tell you something. You just didn't wake up one day with a stronghold. You know where it started? It started all the way back over here. When you received that thought, you began to meditate on it, reflect on it. You invited it to come and take a room in your heart. You welcomed that thought. And as that thought became a part of you, you made a choice. And when you made that choice, you ultimately committed the act. And when that act was repeated, it became a stronghold. And one day you realized that it was not no longer a habit. It was a stronghold. It was out of control in your life. Instead of you controlling it, it was controlling you. But do you know what? You'll never get a stronghold if you learn how to bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus. Did you notice in the last part of that verse, he says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you tonight the most practical and biblical way in this world to bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus. So you don't ever have to have a stronghold. Then I want to show you how in the Word of God to pull down any stronghold in your life. All right, now I want to talk to you about your mind. If you're going to win the battle of your mind, there are two things that have got to be present in your life. Number one, you've got to have a guarded mind. G-U-A-R-D-E-D. Friend, I cannot tell you how important this is. Under God, I can say to you, you will not make it spiritually. You will not survive in the 20th century. You will be a casualty along the highway. You'll lose your testimony. I'm telling you, you must have a guarded mind. Secondly, I'm going to show you how you have to have a guided mind. G-U-I-D-E-D. You've got to have a guided mind. Now, I want to talk to you about a guarded mind. I want to say a word to you about thoughts. Shortly after I became a Christian, I got greatly discouraged in my Christian life. I was a freshman at the University of South Carolina. I was 19 years of age. It was in March. I committed my life to Jesus Christ. But guess what happened? I began to go on with God. But you know what defeated me? I began to have awful thoughts in my mind. Listen, I'm talking about unholy thoughts, ungodly thoughts, unrighteous thoughts, thoughts that I knew were contrary to the Word of God, thoughts I knew that didn't please God. And here, I didn't want these thoughts. I'm telling you, they disturbed me. They caused me great difficulty. And I'll tell you, I'd be trying to go on with God, and the devil would whisper in my ear, how can you say you love Jesus and have those kind of thoughts? How can you say you're a Christian and have those kind of thoughts? Don't you know anybody that loves God wouldn't have those kind of thoughts? And I'll tell you, I stayed defeated because I didn't understand about my thoughts. You know what liberated me? Couple of things, but here was the first one. Now, this is going to shut you. Probably know this, but some people it kind of bothers them when I say it. But don't you listen to me before you kind of tune it out. Did you know what really set me free about those thoughts and how to deal with them was this? When I discovered from the Word of God that the thought itself was not a sin, it was what I did with the thought. Now hear me carefully. The thought itself was not a sin. It is what I did with that thought. Now stay with me. If it was an unholy thought, an unrighteous thought, an ungodly thought, if I refused it, did you hear that word? If I refused it, if I did not welcome it into my heart, the only time that thought itself became sin was when I received it, welcomed it into my heart, gave it a room to live in. Understand, the thought itself is not a sin. It is what you do with the thought. If you welcome, receive, and meditate on unholy, ungodly, unrighteous thoughts, it's sin. But if you refuse, cast down, and bring captive unholy thoughts, the thought itself is not a sin. You know how this was brought home to me one time? Stay with me. I was talking about this in our church. And there was a lady named Dot. She's the head of our prayer ministry. She came up to me after the service and said, Brother Fred, as you were talking about thoughts, you know what? In my mind, I saw my mind as an airport. And said, circling above my mind were all kind of airplanes are thoughts. Some of them were holy thoughts, but some of them were unholy thoughts. Some of them were godly thoughts, but some of them were ungodly thoughts. And all of these airplanes were circling above my mind, which was the landing field, and they were asking for permission to land in my mind. She said, but my will, W-I-L-L, my will was the air traffic controller. And my will could say to holy thoughts, you're welcome, land in my mind. But my will could say to unholy thoughts, you are not welcome. You keep on flying. You cannot land in my mind. Friend, I want to tell you something. You can't stop. Are you listening? You can't stop the unholy and ungodly thoughts from circling there and wanting to land in your mind. But you can refuse the thoughts. You can cast them down. You can bring them captive to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight that the thought itself is not a sin. It is what you do with the thought. Did you know? This is going to bother you, but I'll support it from the scripture. Did you know that unholy thoughts were put into the mind of Jesus? Oh, listen. Listen. He had just finished fasting, just been baptized. He was in the wilderness, and Satan came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, do what? Command these stones to be made to bread. That was an unholy thought. Asking Jesus to use his power upon himself and in a way that God doesn't want him to use. Did you know what? Jesus did not receive that thought. The Bible says he brought it captive. He cast it down, for he replied, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Satan came again and put a thought in his mind. If you be the Son of God, jump off the temple. Do something that is soulish and would appeal to the souls of men. Jump off. Do something sensational. Doesn't the Bible say that he's given his angels charge over you and they'll come and catch you, lest you fall on, dash your foot against a stone? Jesus didn't receive that thought. He said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You will be defeated in your Christian life. You will be discouraged and you will be beaten around unless you understand that the thought itself is not a sin. It is what you do with the thought. If you cast down the unholy thoughts, bring them captive to Jesus, it is not a sin. It is when you receive them, welcome them, meditate on them, and let them become a part of your life. Now, when you receive the unholy thought, when you welcome it, it's going to lead you to make a choice. You're going to commit an act. You're soon going to have a habit, and you'll have a stronghold in your life. But it all began with a thought. Now, I want to talk to you very quickly about something. Listen to me carefully. Where do your thoughts come from? Where do my thoughts come from? What is the source of our thoughts? Let me talk to you tonight, and I can't spend the time I'd like to, but I'll just mention. Let me mention to you tonight the source of unholy thoughts. Do you want to know where unholy thoughts come from? You want to know where ungodly thoughts come from? You want to know where the thoughts that would cause us to sin come from? They come from three areas. Let me tell you what they are. They come, first of all, from the world system, and I'll explain that. Number two, they come from the flesh. And by that I mean the unrenewed mind, and I'll explain that. Number three, they come from the devil or demons. There are three sources of ungodly and unholy thoughts. The world system, the flesh, and the devil and his demons. Let's talk about the world system. I want you to explain this verse to me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, it is of the world, and the world passes away, and all of its lust included. Now listen, I used to read that verse, it bothered me. I said, wait a minute, Lord. I love the world. I love the rivers. I love the mountains. I love the ocean. I love the streams. I love the snow. God, I love this world. It's a beautiful world. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. He said, hold it. I didn't tell you not to love the created world. He said, I told you not to love the world system. Friend, I want to tell you something. We are living right here, smack dab in the middle of the world system. And I want to say something you know to be true, but it is still shocking. I want to ask you, who is the God, little g, of this world system? Who is it? The devil. You're exactly right. Satan is the God of the world system. Did you know what it says in 2 Corinthians 4? It says, if the gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Did you know in John 14, 15, and 16, three times, right in that section, Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world? He says, the prince of this world is coming, and he finds nothing in me. He says, the prince of this world is now cast out. I want to tell you something, friend. We are living right in the middle in this day of a world system of which Satan and his demons are the prince and the rulers and of the God. And I want to tell you something. Are you listening? This world system is committed to capture your mind. You get up in the world in the morning, the world system starts putting its thoughts in your mind. I mean, throughout the day, the world system is putting its thoughts in your mind. And I want to tell you, they're not of God. They feed the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, how does the world system, what methods does it use to put its thoughts in our minds? Have you ever noticed that when you get in your car to go anywhere, that everywhere you go, all along the side of the road, what do you see? What are they called? Billboards. Have you ever wondered why people put up billboards? Is it because they like to draw pictures? Did you know they say, listen, if I can get him to see that picture and read those words so many times, it'll be implanted in his mind. And when he gets ready to make a choice, that will be the choice that he makes. And I want to tell you, this world system spends billions of dollars to put up billboards to plant thoughts in your minds. And I want to tell you something. They're not holy thoughts. They're not righteous thoughts. They're not godly thoughts. I'm telling you, they're not. You know, there was a billboard that used to really bother me. Still does. It's not up there right now. But I see them at other places. I used to get on University Boulevard there in Mobile, going out university. And you know what there was? There was this huge billboard. I mean, I'm talking about big billboard. Guess what was on it? Oh, every time I saw it, I wanted to get a plane to Colorado. There was a beautiful mountain. Beautiful mountain. Oh, snow-capped. There was the most beautiful stream running down it I've ever seen. And at the bottom, there was a green meadow and there was a fence. And there was a guy walking through that meadow, you know. It was the most beautiful picture of a mountain scene I'd ever seen. Every time I saw it, I said, here I am driving a hot car and I could be in the mountains. But you know what was right in the middle of that billboard? A big bottle of Canadian Club whiskey. I asked myself the question, what have mountains and streams and snow and water got to do with drinking liquor? God said nothing. He said, you know what they're doing? He said, they're taking your love for nature that I put inside of you. The heavens declare the glory of God. He said, they're taking your love for nature and they're trying to make you think that liquor and nature go hand in hand. Can I make one statement? That is a lie. You know what they should have put on that billboard? If they wanted to be truthful about Canadian Club whiskey, they should have shown somebody drunk hanging over a commode throwing up. Why didn't they put that on there? I've been there. I know how that is. You know what they should have put on that billboard? They should have put a man in a hospital in an intensive care unit, swollen twice his size, dying of cirrhosis of the liver. You see, the whole world system is a lie. It's a lie. They don't ever tell the truth. They get athletes with all of their brawn and say, you want to be masculine? Drink light beer. That's a lie. There's nothing masculine about drinking light beer. It'll cause you to get drunk, drive on the wrong side of the road, and kill people. That's what it'll cause you to do. It's a lie. And I'm telling you, you get up in the morning and they begin to bombard you with all of these thoughts. If you want to be masculine, do this. If you want to be feminine. You know how they tell people to be feminine? Have you ever seen these pictures? Boy, here are these sleekly dressed ladies. Sleekly dressed ladies. Boy, they got on their furs or some real tight, silky outfit, you know, and they're on that billboard and they're saying, man, if you want to be feminine and if you want to be attractive, smoke Virginia Slims. Have you ever seen that before? I want to go on record, it's a lie. If you want to have yellow teeth, smoke Virginia Slim. If you want to have lung cancer, smoke Virginia Slims. There's nothing feminine about a cigarette or masculine. You say, that offends me. I'm sorry. But it's all a lie. I want to tell you, it works. Friend, they have so put that in our minds. I can tell you about a man right now, and everybody in this room will know who I'm talking about. You can't hardly open any magazine. I don't care whether it's Sports Illustrated, Good House. I don't care what it is. You open it up and there he is. I mean, friend, there's that mountain stream. There's that beautiful water. Here's this guy. I mean, son, you're talking about good looking. He's tanned. He's got on a cowboy hat. He's got a mustache. He's got on a leather vest. I mean, he's riding across that meadow and he's roping a cow. I wonder who that is. Anybody know who it is? The Marlboro Man. You're exactly right. See, I knew you'd know who it was. How many of you ever seen the Marlboro Man? Raise your hand. Every one of you. You know him better than you do your cousins. Did you know? Are you ready? What they're saying is, if you want to be masculine and good looking and rope cows, smoke Marlboro. I mean, did you know the original Marlboro Man died of lung cancer? Did you know that? So help me God, that's the truth. The original Marlboro Man died of lung cancer. They never publicized that. I saw a sign the other day, had a picture of a camel, said for 75 years it's been smoking. Ain't nobody been smoking camels for 75 years. They dead long ago. Long ago. Now, I don't want to get off on that. And if you smoke, I'm not trying to be offensive to you. I just bring you in God. Really, I'm just trying to illustrate a point. Friend, the world is committed to tell you what to drink, what to eat, how to cut your hair, what to wear. And if you want to have an education, go to the mall. Just sit down and watch people. Listen. You know, it's funny, but it's serious. They're dressing just the way people are dressing just like the world tells them to dress. They got their hair cut. They got some of the weirdest things on them you've ever seen in your life. Why? Because the world says, man, that's where it's at. It's a lie. It's a lie. But it works. Billboards. Movies. What kind of movies do you watch? You say, Brother Fred, I don't go and watch those where they get completely naked. Well, what am I supposed to do? Say, listen. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Please stay with me. I want to ask you this question, and if I'm wrong, you tell me. You're sitting there. They may have the clothes on, but they're talking, they're being suggestive. Here is a man, here is a woman. They are not married. Everything says, suggestively, that they're thinking and talking about things they shouldn't. And you know they go into the room and they close the door, and you know what's going on. I want to ask you a question. When you watch that, are you feeding the flesh? Or are you feeding your spirit? Brother Rick read it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Listen to me. He that sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap what? Corruption. I won't tell you, friend. You can't watch suggestive, adulterous, and fornicative scenes. You cannot watch violence and murder and bloodshed. You cannot watch all of that without it feeding your flesh. I defy you to show me anywhere where anything that is of darkness and anything that is unholy and anything that is ungodly feeds your spirit. It does not. It feeds your flesh. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand why I think what I think. I don't understand why I'm tempted with lust or immorality or anger or bitterness. I don't understand. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you just keep putting it in your mind, brother, you put it in your mind, it's going to come out in your heart. I promise you that's right. What are you saying to me, Brother Fred? You better guard your mind. You better guard what you look at. You better guard what you listen to. You know, I was just interesting to notice that they were, had a big suit against Motley Crue, a rock band, because somebody killed themselves after listening, after acting out something they had sung in their song. You see, you listen to it, you do it. The thought becomes a choice, and the choice becomes an act, and the act becomes a habit and a stronghold. I'll promise you this, the world system is committed to capturing your mind. If you do not guard your mind, if you do not guard your mind, you will be defeated spiritually. I want to say this, and I'm going to move on to the second source of thoughts, which is the unrenewed mind, and the third, which is the devil. I want to say this to you. Brother Rick, I want to tell you what the Lord showed me one time. You see, I preach every Sunday, three times on Sunday morning, one time on Sunday night, and I love to preach the gospel. But I said, God, I don't understand it. Many people come and hear the word of God, hear the word of God, and they don't seem to be changed, Lord. It seems that they're going more this way than this way. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, if a man or a woman 6 days a week feeds their flesh by reading the wrong books, watching the wrong movies, watching the wrong programs, listening to the wrong things. He said, if they feed their flesh for 6 days, you can't preach it out of them in 30 minutes. And I can't, and nor can your pastor, nor can God himself. If you spend 6 days feeding your flesh and 45 minutes feeding your spirit, guess what's going to win out? You better guard your mind. You better guard your mind. You say, Brother Fred, I'm sick and tired of narrow-minded preachers. Well, brother, you better be narrow-minded or the world will fill it with garbage. Do you hear what I said? You better be narrow-minded. Here's the second source of your thoughts. It won't take me as long on this. It's called the unrenewed mind or the flesh. Where did these thoughts come from that I have, Brother Fred? They come from the world system. Number two, they come from the flesh. That is the unrenewed mind. Let me tell you something that is amazing. I honestly believe it's true. Everything you have ever seen or heard or experienced since you were born is in your subconscious mind. Do you know that? Oh, yes. You see, you have a conscious mind and you have a subconscious mind. Did you know everything you've ever seen, heard, or experienced since the day you were born is stored in your subconscious mind? All the good experiences are there. Guess what? All the bad ones are there. Guess what happens? Did you know that out of your subconscious mind can pop up good memories? Are you ready? Out of your subconscious mind can pop up ungodly experiences, ungodly memories, painful experiences. I'm going to tell you. That's why the Bible says, are you listening to this verse? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are you transformed? Listen. By the renewing of your what? Mind. Did you hear what he said? Don't let the world squeeze you into its image. And the way you keep the world from squeezing you in its image is to let your mind be transformed. Let your mind be renewed. Let me give you two illustrations of bad. Well, three. There was a lady, and I'm not saying this to be funny, and I don't want us to laugh at it, because it's serious. The woman wept when she told me this. She came to see me. She was a new convert. And I want to talk to you about unpleasant experiences. She said, Brother Fred, she was weeping. She said, I want to tell you something that bothers me. I said, what is it? Her name was Katie. She said, Brother Fred, ever since I was a little girl, almost every day, my mother said to me, Katie, you will always be fat. You will always be fat. She said, I cannot get away from that. And she said, I'm going to tell you. And of course, she was a very, very heavy person. Very heavy. She said, every time I see myself, that's the way. It was, I don't know the exact words, but her basic saying was, that's the way I see myself. And I'm telling you, she has battled that in her mind. There was another young man that came to see me. Everything about him said that he should be able to hold a job and be successful. Everything. But he would go to work. This man was a Christian. He would do his best, but somehow it seemed like things always developed. Then he never got anywhere. But you know what he told me one day? It was a broken heart. He said, but Brother Fred, it's what my daddy said is coming to pass. I said, what do you mean? He said, from the time I could remember, my daddy told me I would never amount to anything, that I would never be able to succeed in life. You see what's happening? I'm thinking about the people, the woman who is unable to respond to any male affection because of an unpleasant experience with her father. I want to tell you something. You want to wonder where all these thoughts come from? Are you listening? They come from the world system of which Satan himself is the prince that try to capture our minds. But many of us have had some garbage put into our minds and it just keeps popping up. Some of it's good, but I mean some good things back there, but some ungodly things back there. Let me tell you the third source of our assault. I'm going to show you how to take those thoughts captive in a moment. I'm just telling you where they come from, so you'll understand that you're not any different from anybody else. Here's the third source of thoughts. The world system, the flesh, here it is, the devil, our demons. I want you to listen to this verse and see if I'm right. He's talking about the spiritual armor we're to put on. He said, above all. You know, he said, above all. Take the shield of faith so that you will be able to quench all the fiery, what? Darts of the wicked one. You know what that is? Thoughts. Friend, here you are, a child of God. You may be a pastor. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a new Christian. Boy, you're walking around serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, here it comes. That little flaming missile, that little fiery dart, zing, right into your mind. And you say, why am I thinking this? Where in the world did this come from? I mean, here it comes into your mind, and you say, oh God, how can I be a Christian and think this? And you don't understand that it was a fiery dart of the wicked one that came into your mind. I tell you what, I've had so many of those things. I have them all the time. Sometimes during the day I'll be riding down the road and here come a fiery dart. I'll be trying to pray. Here come a fiery dart. I'll be sitting in the pulpit before I get ready to preach, and here come a fiery dart just zinging into my mind. And if I did not know where they were coming from, and if I thought they were sin in themselves, and if I just had the thought, I tell you, I'd never ever be able to live a Christian life. But see, I know that the thought itself is not a sin. I know where it's coming from. It's what you do with the thought. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you guarding your mind? Are you guarding it? Are you guarding it? You better. You better be very, very, very careful what you allow to get into your mind. Let me just give you one verse, and then I'm going to show you how to bring the thoughts captive, and we'll be through. Let me tell you something. Look here. Did you know the Bible, what the Bible says? It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Wow. That's Ephesians chapter 5. He said, don't you, Fred, have any fellowship. Don't you let your spirit be joined with the spirit of darkness that is operating in this world. Much of which we look at and read and fellowship with, it is nothing but darkness. It is darkness. And God says, don't you have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, if you just heard the first part of this message, you'll leave here defeated. But if you begin to live out the second part, you'll start living in victory. Here's the second part. You got to have a guarded mind. Number two, you got to have a guided mind. Boy, I'll tell you, this truth I'm about to share with you is the only way I'm able to survive in my Christian life. It is Christ in me who gives me the strength. It's the Holy Spirit in me who enables me. I have no power or strength myself, but I want to thank God it is Jesus in me. But He has taught me, and many of you know this, but I want to remind you, that if you're going to win the battle spiritually, you got to do three things to have a guided mind. Number one, here it is. You've got to refuse. You've got to cast down. You've got to bring captive to Jesus every unholy or ungodly thought. You have got to refuse and cast down in Jesus' name the unholy or unrighteous or ungodly thought. Let me give you an example. The thought comes into my mind. Now, this has happened to me many times. All right, here I am. I'm sitting up getting ready to get up and preach. I'm sitting down. And the thought comes into my mind. You see that man over there? I said, yeah. He doesn't like you. Now, I used to say, well, I don't care. If he doesn't like me, I won't like him. I'll go out the other side of the church. I won't even speak to him. That's exactly what the devil wanted me to do. You know what I do? When the thought comes into my mind, that man doesn't like you, I say in my spirit, I refuse that thought in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse that thought in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring it captive to Jesus. For the Bible says, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. pray for those who despitefully use you. And I say, Father, I want to pray for that man. I mean, he probably really does like me. That's just a lie of the devil. But it doesn't matter. I'm praying, God, you'd do a mighty work in his life. Draw him closer to Jesus. I want you to bless his wife and his kids. And I ask you to pour your spirit out on him, God, and make him the man you want him to be. And Lord, I want to love him every time I get a chance. And God, today, instead of going out the other way, I'm going to go by and hug him on the way out. What have I done? I have refused the unholy thought. I have replaced it with the Word of God. That's the second thing you have to do. And I have prayed in the opposite direction. Friend, I want to tell you that's what you call guarding your mind. When the unholy, ungodly thought comes into your mind, you refuse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, you replace it with Scripture. You replace the lie with the truth. You replace the lie with the truth. You refuse the lie. You replace it with the truth. And you pray in the opposite direction that Satan tried to get you to act. For example, my thoughts toward a person of the opposite sex, a lady, the thought comes into my mind, wouldn't you like to have a sexual relationship with her? The thought of the picture comes into my mind. And I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I refuse that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast that down. For the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Father, I want to pray for that lady, that you will keep her pure, that you'll turn her heart toward her husband, that you'll keep her from any relationship that is ungodly and unholy. And Lord, that she will be the woman of God that you want her to be. You see, the immoral thought, you refused it in Jesus' name. You replaced it with Scripture, the truth, and you prayed the exact opposite way that the devil put in your mind. I tell you what, you do that and you won't be unfaithful to your wife. See, if you don't let the thought come in, then brother, you're not going to commit the act. But you receive the thought, you meditate on it, you reflect on it, soon you'll make a choice and then you'll commit the act. But if you just had refused that thought, replaced it with the Scriptures, what if a spirit of fear comes on you? I mean, you're in a situation, and I mean, the devil loves to put fear in people's hearts. We all know what it is for sudden fear to come on us. You say, here comes this spirit of fear, of this thought of fear. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I refuse that fear. I cast it down. For the Bible says, the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Father, I want to pray for courage to do exactly what the devil's trying to make me afraid not to do in this situation. Here's the pattern. This is the way you guide your mind. You refuse the thought in the name of Jesus. You replace it with the Word of God, with truth. And you pray in the opposite direction. You know why the Word of God is so important? What did the psalmist say? Thy Word have I hid in my what? Heart, that's my mind. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against God. Brother, you better be full of Scripture. So when the lies come from the world system, the flesh, and the devil, you say, I refuse them in Jesus' name. I cast them down. Then you quote Scripture. You speak the truth. And then you pray the other way. And I promise you, you won't end up with strongholds in your life. You won't. Because you've got a guarded mind. Now, you'd be a fool to say, well, now, I'm just going to guide my mind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down here and watch this. And while I'm watching it, I'm going to refuse the thoughts. Don't do that. Cut it off. That's stupid. Oh, I can watch that and it won't bother me. Then, brother, you're the only exception in the Word of God I know of. But I'm so mature, that just goes right over my head. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. It don't go over your head. It goes right in your heart. You know that. I know that. It doesn't. Guard your mind and guide your mind. Now, let me ask you this. You say, but Brother Fred, I needed to hear this many years ago because I'll be honest with you. I've got a stronghold in my life. You know, can I tell you how you know you got a stronghold? I spoke on this one time in Abbeville. And I don't even know the man's name. I just remember he was a veterinarian. He was a very honest man who had a heart after God. You know what he told me? He said, according to what you just said, I've got four strongholds in my life. Four. Listen to me. You don't want to know what that stronghold is? You want to know how you've got one? Listen to me. Is there anything in your life, anything, you begin to go on with God You begin to grow spiritually. Jesus begins to take control of your life. And you're really, really growing. But all of a sudden, it keeps popping up. And you fall to that particular sin. And you say, now, Lord, you know, this has been a pattern in my life. But I want to tell you one thing, Lord. You know I'm sorry about this. And God, I want to promise you that I'll never do that again. Lord, I'd rather die than do that. I'm so sick of being defeated. Lord, I'm really embarrassed to come to you and ask you to forgive me about that again. But Lord, it's there. And God, I want to tell you I'll never do it again. Please forgive me. And you're sincere. I mean, you're as sincere as you can be. You really are sorry that you did it. And God forgives you. And you don't ever intend to do it again. But you know what? You do. And it's the one thing that keeps defeating you. It's the one thing that keeps coming up. It's the one thing that keeps causing you to stumble. It's the one area that you don't have any consistent victory. It seems like every time God really begins to work, that thing pops up. And you get so embarrassed. You say, God, am I going to have to die with this sin defeating me in my life? Am I going to have to just constantly come to you till I get to heaven over this one sin? God, I am ashamed to come back again about it. I've told you 50 times I'd quit it and never do it again. But it keeps on coming back. You know why? It's a stronghold. It's not just a habit. It's a stronghold. And it has to be pulled down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Get this. To the pulling down of strongholds. You have to pull them down. You know how you pull them down? You confess that you have it. God, that's a stronghold. You confess that Jesus Christ is greater than that stronghold. And then you come against it in the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and you pray in the opposite direction. But you've got to confess you got it. You've got to confess that Jesus is greater than that stronghold. Then you've got to literally, in the name of Jesus, pull it down with His power and His blood, replace it with the Word of God, come against it with the Scripture, and then pray the opposite direction in your life. But you've got to admit that it's there. Then you've got to consistently. I've seen some of them come down instantly. Are you listening? I've known some people that it took them a year to get it down and root it out. God did it, but I'm telling you, I was talking to a lady Sunday who came to me, and her son-in-law had been very abusive to her daughter. And I want to tell you, she battled bitterness toward that young man. She battled bitterness, but she kept choosing to forgive. She kept pulling down, coming against the stronghold of bitterness in her life. I want you to know, she said, Brother Fred, one day I realized it was down and it was gone. I talked to one man that battled the stronghold of pornography. He basically lived in victory, but every now and then he would lapse back. He battled it for 2 years until it was totally rooted out and torn down in his life. But it's gone now, praise God. Got any strongholds in your life? You don't have to live with them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, get out your little booklet. Would you do that? I want to show you one of your weapons, all right? This is the most effective weapon that I have ever discovered in my Christian life. You see, the reason it's so effective, it takes two weapons that we have and blends them together. It is the weapon of prayer and it is the weapon of the Word of God. In this warfare prayer, you have a perfect blending of the power of prayer and the power of the Word of God. And friend, when you pray the Word, like is here in this prayer, I'm telling you, the shackles come off, the strongholds come down, the enemy's plans are foiled, and you don't have to give in and lose the battle for your mind. Now, listen to me. This prayer, spiritual warfare prayer, is simply a guide. It's just truth is all it is. You're simply praying the truth. I've been praying it every day now for 2 months. Going to pray it every day the rest of my life till Jesus comes. There will never be a day when I do not pray the truth of this prayer. Never. I don't care if I'm on a vacation in Siberia. I'm going to be praying this truth every day the rest of my life. I'm telling you, I'm going to pray it. Because you see, you don't wait till you're wounded to put the armor on. You don't wait till you're down bloody to get. You need to take the offensive as a child of God. Take the offensive as a child of God. And I want to tell you, this prayer incorporates the Word of God and the power of prayer. Listen, just let the truth become a part of you. I could pray every bit of it without even using this book because it's becoming a part of my spirit. I'll continue to use it as a guide as long as I need because it reminds me of areas. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do. It'll take us about 8 or 9 minutes, an outside number of 10 minutes to pray this. Now, let me tell you why we're going to do it. First of all, we're going to pray it very slowly. We're not going to pray it fast. We're going to pray it slowly. We're going to read it to the Lord. It's our prayer. He knows it's coming from our... We're going to read it slowly to the Lord. Take us 10 minutes to do it. I want you to know that usually when I just am not in any time of rush, and I have plenty of time, and I usually try to do that. There's occasionally that I want you to know that I usually spend an hour praying this truth to the Lord. It takes that long because you can just go off in so many directions. But I want to tell you, it is a tremendous truth. Let me tell you one thing that I do as a husband and a father. When I get over there on page 8, and you don't need, and you can, when I start pulling down strongholds in my life, listen to me, men, listen to me. I also include my wife, and I name her, and I pull down any strongholds in her life. I also either name my children or say my children and my grandchildren. I've been doing that. So I pull down strongholds in my life, the life of my wife, the life of our church, in the life of my children and grandchildren. You see, I not only come against the devil's work in my life, but in those that God has placed me in authority over, my family and my church. Wives, women, you can come against strongholds in your husband's life and plans that Satan has formed against him, against your children. I'm telling you, you don't have to limit when you get to the actual warfare that you're doing. You can do it for your family and others that God's put in your life. God will honor it. He'll honor it. All right? Tell you what, let's do. Let's stand together. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray this prayer together. And I want to tell you, God is absolutely going to do a work in many of your lives. If you're a teenager, I want you to read this to the Lord. You say, well, I don't know if I mean it or not. We'll say that, well, maybe God will put some of it in your heart as we say it. That's right. God knows where you are. I'm asking you to do it. To let this truth begin to impenetrate you. And the Lord knows where you are. It is not a mockery. You're saying, Brother Fred, I'll do what you've asked me to do. I want you to let this truth come from your heart to God, all right? Now, you'll just pray it with me. I want to pray a moment, then we're just going to start praying it very slowly to the Lord. Father, I praise you that Jesus Christ is Lord in this place. I praise you, O God, that the plans and strongholds of the enemy that have been formed against us, against our families, against our churches, are going to be torn down and smashed in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, we're taking the offensive tonight to pull down every stronghold in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I get to the part about strongholds, you name the one that you think is in your life. I'll pause. You name it under your breath to the Lord. All right? Let's begin reading this together right now. We're in the first paragraph. You just read it with me to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. That's right. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection during this time of prayer. I surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to yourself. I do take a stand against all the workings of Satan that would hinder me in this time of prayer. And I address myself only to the true and living God and refuse any involvement of Satan in my prayer. Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence with all your demons. And I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us. Heavenly Father, I worship you and I give you praise. I recognize that you are worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. I renew my allegiance to you and pray that the blessed Holy Spirit would enable me in this time of prayer. I am thankful, Heavenly Father, that you have loved me from past eternity, that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to die as my substitute, that I would be redeemed. I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came as my representative, and that through him you have completely forgiven me. You have given me eternal life. You have given me the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I am now justified. I am thankful that in him you have made me complete and that you have offered yourself to me to be my daily help and strength. Heavenly Father, come and open my eyes that I may see how great you are
and how complete your provision is for this new day. I do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take my place with Christ in the heavenlies, with all principalities and powers, powers of darkness and wicked spirits under my feet. I am thankful that the victory the Lord Jesus Christ won for me on the cross and in His resurrection has been given to me, and that I am seated with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. Therefore, I declare that all principalities and powers and all wicked spirits are subject to me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for the armor you have provided. I put on the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the helmet of salvation. I lift up the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy. And I take in my hand the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and use your Word against all the forces of evil in my life. I put on this armor and I live and pray in complete dependence upon you, blessed Holy Spirit. I am grateful, Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoiled all principalities and powers and made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in Himself. I claim all that victory for my life today. I reject out of my life all the insinuations, the accusation, and the temptations of Satan. I affirm that the Word of God is true, and I choose to live today in the light of God's Word. I choose, Heavenly Father, to live in obedience to You and in fellowship with Yourself. Open my eyes and show me areas of my life that would not please You. Work in my life that there would be no ground to give Satan a foothold against me. Show me any area of weakness. Show me any area of my life that I must deal with so that I would please You. I do in every way stand for You and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. By faith in and dependence on You, I put off the old man and stand into all the victory of the crucifixion, where the Lord Jesus Christ has provided cleansing from the old nature. I put on the new man and stand into all the victory of the resurrection and the provision He has made for me there to live above sin. Therefore, in this day, I put off the old nature with its selfishness. I put on the new nature with its love. I put off the old nature with its fear, and I put on the new nature with its courage. I put off the old nature with its weakness, and I put on the new nature with its strength. I put off today the old nature with its deceitful lust, and I put on the new nature with all of its righteousness and purity. I do, in every way, stand into the victory of the ascension and the glorification of the Son of God, where all principalities and powers were made subject to Him. I claim my place in Christ, victorious with Him over all the enemies of my soul. Blessed Holy Spirit, I pray that You would fill me, come into my life, break down every idol, and cast out every foe. I am thankful, Heavenly Father, for the expression of Your will for my daily life, as You have shown me in Your Word. I therefore claim all the will of God for today. I am thankful that You have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am thankful that You have begotten me unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I am thankful that You have made a provision so that today I can live filled with the Spirit of God, with love and joy and self-control in my life. I recognize that this is Your will for me, and I therefore reject and resist all the endeavors of Satan and his demons to rob me of the will of God. I refuse in this day to believe my feelings, and I hold up the shield of faith against all the accusations and all the insinuations that that Satan would put in my mind. I claim the fullness of the will of God for today. I do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely surrender myself to you, Heavenly Father, as a living sacrifice. I choose not to be conformed to this world. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I pray that you would show me your will and enable me to walk in all the fullness of the will of God today. I am thankful, Heavenly Father, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in my own life today, I tear down the strongholds of Satan. Now pause a minute. Name any stronghold in your life right now. It says, therefore, in my own life today, I tear down the strongholds of Satan. Mention anyone that you think is present in your life. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tear down. Therefore, in my own life today, I tear down the strongholds of Satan. All right, pick up. And I smash the plans of Satan that have been formed against me. I tear down the strongholds of Satan against my mind. I surrender my mind to you, blessed Holy Spirit. I affirm, Heavenly Father, that you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I break and smash the strongholds of Satan formed against my emotions today, and I give my emotions to you. I smash the strongholds of Satan against my will, and I give my will to you and choose to make the right decisions of faith. I smash the strongholds of Satan formed against my body today, and I give my body to you, rejoicing that I am your temple, and I rejoice in your mercy and goodness. Heavenly Father, I pray that now through this day, you would quicken me, show me the way that Satan is hindering, tempting, and lying, and counterfeiting, and distorting the truth in my life. Enable me to be the kind of person that would please you. Enable me to be aggressive in prayer. Enable me to be aggressive mentally, and to think your thoughts after you, and to give you your rightful place in my life. Again, I now cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that you, blessed Holy Spirit, would bring all the work of the crucifixion, all the work of the resurrection, all the work of the glorification, and all the work of Pentecost into my life today. I surrender myself to you. I refuse to be discouraged. You are the God of all hope. You have proven your power by resurrecting Jesus Christ from the dead. And I claim in every way your victory over all the satanic forces active in my life. I reject these forces, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. Now bow your heads with me for just a moment. I tell you, friend, God heard the truth that you prayed. It certainly pleased the Lord, and it was certainly the will of God. Now, I want to say this to you. This truth needs to become a part of you. You need to do warfare praying every day. I'm telling you, don't let Satan always be on the defensive. Smash his plans before they're formed. Smash the strongholds that he has against your mind or your emotions. You see, don't wait. Take the offensive. Put the armor on and go out to battle prepared in Jesus to claim his victory in your life.